Join the Wall Street Journal for the Complimentary Jobs Summit when it returns on Tuesday, March 28th. Register today. Visit wsj.com/jobssummitpodcast and claim your ticket at no cost.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, March 28th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. We've got exclusive news on Uber Eats. The food delivery service plans to announce today that it's taking thousands of online-only brands off its app and introducing new rules around virtual stores. That's because the app is getting clogged by restaurants that have multiple listings under different names, but with the same menu. On today's show, our restaurants reporter Heather Haddon joins us to explain how the number of these listings has boomed and what the change could mean for customers and the restaurants. That's after these headlines. Lyft's co-founders will step back from managing the company. President John Zimmer and current CEO Logan Green founded the company in 2012. Lyft hasn't recorded an annual profit since then and has seen its stock price battered in the last year. David Risher, who joined Lyft's board 2 years ago, will become the new CEO. In an interview, Green and Zimmer both said they were each stepping down for personal reasons. The pair will retain their seats on the board but not participate in the running of Lyft day-to-day. One of the nation's biggest regional banks, First Citizens, is buying large pieces of Silicon Valley Bank. It comes more than 2 weeks after SVB, known for its ties to the startup sector, collapsed, sending tremors through the banking system. SVB's depositors will become customers of First Citizens, but WSJ editor Matthew Thomas says there are still $90 billion of assets left with the FDIC.
If we remember 2 weeks ago about the problems Silicon Valley faced, it was the losses on those assets, on its securities, many of which were very safe assets, by the way. We're talking US treasuries, but it was the losses on those assets that caused a lot of these problems. It's not taking that huge portfolio of treasuries, which makes sense because this is a bank that at the end of last year had about $109 billion of assets. That's First Citizens Bank. It's taking on $119 billion of additional deposits. So this is already a massive growth of the bank. There is absolutely no need from First Citizens' point of view to saddle it with $90 billion of treasuries and other securities.
The Commodity Futures Trading Commission is suing Binance, the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange. The regulator alleges Binance violated U.S. rules that require futures and other derivatives to be traded on regulated platforms. The CFTC's lawsuit also named the company's founder and its first chief compliance officer as defendants. It claims they failed to supervise the company's activities and helped U.S.-based customers evade compliance controls. The regulator could seek to have the pair barred from the U.S. derivatives market and prevent them from trading cryptos like Bitcoin and Ether that qualify as commodities. A spokeswoman for Binance called the CFTC complaint unexpected and disappointing and added the company is working to collaborate with the regulator. And President Biden is restricting the use of commercial hacking tools throughout the federal government. A new executive order limits the acquisition and deployment of hacking tools from vendors whose products have been linked to human rights abuses or that are deemed to pose national security risks. Senior administration officials said the White House is grappling with the rapidly growing marketplace for commercial hacking tools that can typically break into someone's phone. At the same time, by not banning such tools outright, spies and others say the U.S. government is acknowledging that the spyware for sale industry could actually be helpful to intelligence operations. Okay, feeling hungry? Well, a change by Uber Eats might make it seem like there are fewer options for delivery. We'll explain why the app says it won't actually reduce users' choices. We'll have that when we come back.
What then will the future reveal?
There's one thing we know about the future. It's being built now.
We all have a stake in the future.
The future.
The future.
The future.
And the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast is here to give you a glimpse of what's on the way. I'm Danny Lewis. Join us as we dig into how science and technology are shaping the future.
For that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Has this ever happened to you? You're looking for something to eat on a delivery app, and you come across several restaurants that all appear to be different, but all seem to have exactly the same food. Well, on Tuesday, Uber Eats is set to announce it's doing something about this. It plans to take down about 5,000 online-only menus that represent about 10% of listings on the app in the US and Canada. With me to discuss how things came to this point is our restaurant reporter, Heather Haddon. Hi, Heather. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.
So to start off, when we talk about multiple listings from one restaurant, are these ghost kitchens?
Some of them can be, but often these are actually from real restaurants with a physical address and an actual door. These are online-only brands that a lot of restaurants started during the pandemic as a way to shore up their businesses when dine-in seating was closed. And it's basically run out of an existing kitchen. It could be a ghost kitchen, but it's often at an actual physical restaurant where they're offering what's supposed to be a unique menu out of that restaurant for online app orders.
Can you tell us a little bit more about why restaurants would choose to do this, to have multiple listings? Maybe give us some examples of restaurants that are doing it.
Yeah. So again, during the pandemic, when dining rooms closed, a lot of brands, including established brands like casual dining restaurants like Chili's or Denny's or IHOP, decided that they needed additional revenue to keep themselves afloat. So at a restaurant like IHOP or Denny's, often their kitchens are pretty slow in the evening, even though they're 24-hour concepts. And so they added these new unique brands that are serving burgers or grilled cheese or quesadillas to appeal to consumers, many of them younger than their typical demographic, to order through apps and to have it delivered to them. So they're using their kitchens. Often they're using existing ingredients in their restaurants, but advertising and marketing it in a new way and offering a new and distinctive menu.
So tell us why Uber has made this decision to kick off around 5,000 online-only restaurants from its app.
So Uber, and you know, a lot of the apps say this as well, that things just got really overheated amongst these virtual brands. All these menus will come up, and some of them are just the same menu under different names and emerging out of the same restaurant or from the same overall company. And there's really no differentiation between them. And so, you know, these apps say thousands of these have mushroomed, and Uber Eats is taking very definitive action to clean up what they say has become a wild, wild west out there of these virtual brands, that they say that they need to cull some of these just so their customers can really trust what they're ordering is an actual distinct restaurant with its own, you know, own food and own menu as opposed to a copycat.
Is there a big fight on the app for real estate space that they might take up or these virtual brands might be taking over?
Yeah, I mean, search is huge. I mean, how you engineer search is a whole art these days. And there's outside third-party services that will help you and your search on these apps, how customers actually discover your brand. You can pay consultants to make that even better. You want to be on top. You want to be towards the top. So when someone is hungry and scrolling, you show up.
Apart from just kicking off many of these online brands, are there any other rules that Uber Eats is bringing in?
Yeah. So in addition to making sure the menus are distinctive, Uber Eats is also going to require that online brands list photos of five items that are unique to its menu. Uber Eats will also take down virtual restaurants whose average ratings drop beyond a certain threshold. And that's kind of similar to some what some of the other companies are starting to do. We talked to Grubhub, who said it's also making sure that there's not too many brands stemming from one same physical address. and making sure that orders and cancellation rates aren't too high from a particular virtual restaurant before they would sanction them.
You spoke with users of the app. What did they say about this phenomenon?
Yeah, I think for going online, you know, maybe it's also like online shopping these days, it can just feel kind of overwhelming. There's just so many listings. You don't really know where it's coming from. The National Restaurant Association actually did a survey, and the majority of customers say they want to have food delivered from an actual place. They want to know that there's some integrity to the listing and to the restaurant before they're eating the food. So I think, you know, there's been some comedians that have spoofed this phenomenon, but I think for the regular customer, they just want to know what they're getting is real.
All right, that was our reporter, Heather Haddon. Thanks for joining us, Heather.
Thank you.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. But a quick note on AI before we close the show. We still want to hear your questions about generative artificial intelligence, AI programs like ChatGPT, Microsoft's new Bing search, or Google's Bard, and we're going to answer them on an upcoming episode. Do you want to know more about how these AI programs work, what they're capable of, or maybe what this latest wave of AI development could mean for how we live our lives? Leave us a voicemail with your AI question at 415-439-6482. Or email us a voice recording to tnb@wsj.com. We look forward to hearing from you. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
The Wall Street Journal's What's News podcast puts you close to the people breaking the news from around the world.
Over half the population are in acute need of food.
And close to home.
The red hot housing market is starting to slow down.
Uncovering facts.
These investments call into question some of the federal government's activity.
And diving into markets.
Of course, a lot of money exiting the stock market, which is like...
Get it all twice a day in less than 15 minutes. Navigate your world with What's News.